Well, welcome to a Panthers podcast. It's exciting. We've got a full cast today. No one's at line dancing or no one's racing cars or whatever. We have a full lineup. Chris Gadsby from BBC Radio Nottingham, former Panthers netminder Dan Green, Panthers commentator Jono Bullard, and your Panthers DJ Kenneth Feast. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Evening. Evening all.
Well, we're getting the band back together, and I don't mean us, I mean the team. Slowly but surely, Omar Pasha and Danny Stewart are getting vital cogs of that wheel. Dan Green, I'll start with you. You've been part of Panthers teams that have stayed together for a while. How crucial is it that players are coming back again?
Yeah, I think it's massive. I mean, it's obviously great that it shows that, guys want to come back. I mean, after the season they've had, obviously. I'm sure Danny and Omar are going to want to re-sign a lot of them, but managing to get that many of them signed that quickly, and I'm sure there'll obviously be some more, is a really good sign that guys don't even want to test the market or go and look elsewhere. That they're just, as soon as the season finished, they want more, they want to come back for more, and it's kind of a lot of our top guys that they're re-signing, and obviously a really good group of the British contingent so far. So yeah, really good signs. And as you said, over the years, I think teams like Belfast, Cardiff, when they were really successful, they've done it. When we were, winning sort of trophies year after year, we were doing it with the likes of Kowalski and Benedict and Matt Francis, guys like that. So yeah, so far, top signings, and hopefully it'll continue.
Ken, that you got your Elite League cap on. I thought the Elite League champion cap was red. What's happened to yours?
Oh, mine's it's in a glass cabinet.
Oh, is it? That's a different one, is it? I can't quite see. You're quite
This
smaller.
is the official Elite League merch from the playoff weekends. Yeah.
Your official Elite League now, mate. Your proper official Elite League. Ken, how great is it to talk about guys coming back and looking down that roster? We can argue about who else we want back. I'm sure we'll agree on nearly everyone, but how great is it to see that the guys who know the club, know what it is to win, are coming back?
I think, as Green has said, it's vitally important that as you look to build something and kind of build a core, that you get returning players that know what it's like to play for the Panthers, and know what the atmosphere is like. They know what's expected. They know kind of the rigor of a full season and kind of how important those early games are in the Elite League. And I think you can't underestimate bringing a solid contingent back as a real core to that, and that's, as it's been already been said, but if you are going to start to build something special for the future, and Alfaro in his interview talked about that winning culture that's being built, from top to bottom within the club, you have to bring back people that know what that means when it comes to the playoffs. The playing staff that are out there on the ice, because at the end of the day, they're the guys putting the pucks in the back of the net and stopping the pucks from going in the net. So they've got to be the right core to build a winning culture around. So yeah, massively excited. I think, we'll all agree there's been some, ups and downs, misfortunes and false starts, but it does feel like this is probably the most excited I've been about an off season for quite a while. And yeah, seeing the signings come back, the real big guns, and you think, wow, this is positive. This is the direction we need to move in.
It's like there's a schedule and a script and a running order here, because you brought up one thing there, Kent. And I promise you, there's not. We do it all off the cuff, don't we? But we're going to bring up the Matt Alfaro comment to you, Jono. So what he said was, everyone here is building a winning culture. It comes from every single person in the city, fans, staff, rink staff. Everyone pulled their weight and contributed. You're nodding there, Jono. It does feel, doesn't it, that like these guys get what it needs to be a Panther, and that connection between fan base and player is as great as I've ever known it.
Yeah, I've never known. I don't think I've ever known such a close connection between the players and the fan base as what it is now. And I think that was emphasised in Saltbox after we won the trophy, Because you're like all the fans, all the players together. Yeah, we're having a great time. We're having a party. We're having a few drinks, but everybody mingling together, the trophy getting passed around. It was absolutely fantastic. The atmosphere in there was brilliant. And he's right that there is does appear to be a winning culture being built. And you only have to look at how we did last season. We competed for every single piece of silverware. We came very close in the Challenge Cup. We came very close in the league, and we won the playoffs. So, and it's a long time since we've had a team that has been competitive on all fronts. And now is the hard part of continuing that momentum and keeping that momentum for the next season. And looking at the players that we're bringing back and looking at the fact that players want to come back and genuinely love being here, it's massively positive going forward.
I didn't know there was a party. I never had one drink that night.
You bloody liar.
Chris Gadsby. I did an interview with Danny Stewart. It's going to air soon, in the next week or so. And he speaks at length. It's a long interview. It's a real in-depth look at the season and a real in-depth look at finals weekend. But I want to push you on something that he said, and I think we've talked about before. How interesting was it that Panthers never really got blown away all season? Yes, we lost games throughout the season, and obviously, a lot of close games. And we talked in the interview, myself and Danny. The only home game I ever really remember is getting blown away was Dundee at home early on in the season. I'm sure there was other games we lost by a couple. In fact, that was the Dundee game was by three, and it was probably the only one by that margin. I'm sure you threw some stats at me not so long ago. But my long-winded way of making this question is, what was really interesting to me is not only did we win a lot of games? They competed every night, bar a couple.
Yeah, so there was that 5-2 loss to Dundee early on in the season at home, which was, as you said, by 3 goals. The other 3-goal one was away to Belfast in the first leg of the Challenge Cup semi-final,
And that was
which was
it, yeah, just the two games.
which gave Panthers an awful lot to do then, obviously, in the
Yeah.
second leg. But yeah, they competed every single game. And it's something that Jono said before that, defense wins championships, and to bring back the players that they have know how much they give for the side every game. Is it, so I think it's like, was it plus 39 Jono Zsombor-Gratt in the end for
Yeah,
the
plus
season,
39. Yeah.
plus 39 Cooper Zek, getting all those assists and those his favorite spot in the left face off circle and scoring all those goals. And we know how good Jason Grande was, so to have those players back that we know compete every single night and every single night give Panthers the chance to win games. As Jono said earlier, they competed for every single piece of silverware, came up just short in a couple, and not many pieces need adding to in order, I would think, to get Panthers over the line. So it is a very exciting off season.
Greener, what are you watching, darts or Charlton Wickham? Which one?
Neither. I'm actually not watching anything. I was watching the hockey, the NHL from last night, but it's currently paused at the moment, obviously.
Don't
Okay.
talk about the NHL. It's all going wrong.
You're a Leafs fan?
Yeah.
Oh, you should have predicted it. It's just like
No,
clockwork.
I, do you know what? I do have an interesting story about that, actually. So my godfather married a Canadian, and I su started supporting the Maple Leafs because I thought she did. This was about when I was like six. And then it transpired, actually, she supports Ottawa,
Oh
not
yes.
Toronto. But I just
No.
stuck with Toronto from that point.
There you go. So she's a pal of mine, a fellow Ottawa senator. That's great. There's not so many of us really. Greener, I've got sidetracked. What was I going to ask you? No, someone there said defense wins championships. It's interesting, isn't it? I think in Panthers pomp and in sort of your era, there was a lot of offensive-minded players that won games for the Panthers, weren't there? And a lot of the time, an amazing netminder in Craig Kowalski, obviously a good defence, some really skillful forwards who put the points up. It's interesting to see that Danny Stewart really is building from the back here. Obviously some key forwards as well, but you look at the pieces he's already got. He is very keen to, that defense, as we saw from the stats, was the stingiest in the league. Very keen to build from the back, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a really impressive stat, the fact that we only lost twice by 3 goals. Normally, if a team wins the league, I bet when Belfast or Sheffield have won the league recently, I bet they lost more games, but by more goals. But yeah, it's exactly that. It just shows that the fight, the spirit, every night. We're obviously not going to win every game, but we're in every game. It doesn't matter home away, whichever rink they're in, they'll give 100%. A bad bounce here or a reffing decision there or something, and it can kind of change the game. But yeah, I think exactly that. But even our forwards, it's not just the defense and the goalie. Even our forwards play really good, unselfish hockey. Guys like Ollie Betteridge, who's probably used to scoring more points, digging in, blocking shots, very defensive. Guys like Hare, Alfaro, you can sort of go through the list. It's the whole team just plays that really unselfish defensive style of hockey. And as you can see, it won us a trophy and probably could have been a lot more.
And Ken, I'm not giving too much more away about this interview with Danny because I want people to tune in. But one of the other things he says, he talks about players playing different roles. And let's we talked a lot all season about the guys that were putting the puck in the net, and I'm sure these guys did get a mention. But people like Otto Niemimann and Hugo Waugh and Reid Stephenson, who perhaps didn't put up the points that maybe some would expected more points, but they had different roles on the team as the season went on, and that in a different way is a sacrifice to pay. You're maybe not going to get the points every night. You're maybe not going to take the glamour, but those roles are just as crucial. And Danny Stewart talks, almost individually about players in the interview and about how players, you can hear more. I'm not going to give too much more away, but you can hear about some of the sacrifices that the players made throughout the season. But just interesting to pick up on those players, for example, in Niemimann and Ra and Waugh, who were the kind of kings 2 seasons ago, but had slightly lesser roles in terms of points, but you still need those roles in the dressing room. They were still huge characters.
Yeah, I'm just want to tune into your interview with Danny Stewart now because
Yeah.
that was like a trailer. But yeah, I think it always makes me think when you build a team and you see a team being built and you see all the kind of as a team is getting put together and you get to see comments of people's opinions on signings or kind of why they think they'll fit in. There'll be people keeping a goals tally and there'll be an opinion on how many goals are in the squad and how many assists and where and whatever. The reality of it is that a successful team has got to be bigger and better than the sum of its parts. And every single player in a side has got to buy into 100% the team goal and the team strategy, and they have to win together because there's no room for individualistic sort of attitudes around polishing your own stats or whatever. And I think players like Niemann and players like Waugh have bought into the collective style of play that Danny wants to play and the identity that if it did feel like Panthers had an identity this year and they've all bought into that. And so therefore, yeah, crucially important. And the most important thing that what the player buys into the role that they have as part of the overall bigger picture.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You make a good point, as you did many times throughout the season, Ken. I mean, we saw a false dawn. I know we've not, Jono, we've not won everything here. We've not won all three major trophies as we did that famous year when we won the Elite League Challenge Cup and playoffs. But you feel that this is a new groundbreaking building block. Obviously, the year that we won the league and everything. We lost a few components, didn't we? We certainly didn't have a huge returnees. Some of the bigger names. Jordan Fox moved on, didn't he? We didn't see Jordan back the next year. Ling, did he move on and then come back partway through?
No, Ling went and then came back in 2016. Bruce Graham moved on. Guy Lepine moved
Gallivan, Beckett.
on. Gallivan, Beckett, who was I thought was huge for us that season.
Oh, Jono's gone. What a
He's gone. But
great freeze frame as well. We
yeah.
Could
That
screenshot
is
that.
that face is seen in other scenarios.
He's back. We heard Galavan and then we lost you. We'll let you carry on.
So yeah, it's. I think the important thing, as we've already said, is keeping the core from last season. We were so good last season. Yeah, I didn't feel there was a weakness anywhere in the team at all. So I think it is important that we get a good majority of that roster back, and then build around it. Bring people in. I mean, Sam Hare is going to be a big loss, just like Jordan Fox was in 2013. So you can replace his points. Can you? You need someone special to replace the leadership that he had, because he was a very, very special leader in that locker room. So that's going to be the big signing for me, is who comes in and replaces Sam Hare. But from the start we've made, from who I hope is going to be coming back, and then who we can bring in, I've still got massive optimism going into the new season when it starts in August, because I just think we've competed for everything this season, and I think we can compete for everything next season as well.
You're right about Sam Hare. It's as much off the ice as it is on ice. You know,
Yeah.
he's an absolute warrior, you know, at all levels. Matt Farrow's interesting, isn't he? I'll go to you, Chris Gadsby. I mean, I've had a few chats. You know, could he be captain material? You know, he certainly is a leader. He didn't wear a letter last season, but the way he played the game, he's very well respected in the dressing room. Again, you know, he's had a year. He knows what it's about. I think Matt Farrow could be a candidate for captain. What do you think, TSGG?
Yeah, absolutely, and I've seen a few people on social media with the same opinion, really. So we don't know who's going to come in between now and the start of next season or anything like that. But yeah, certainly a good candidate for it. He was somebody who, as you said, kind of really bought into the Nottingham kind of philosophy, both on the ice and off the ice. So was always, you know, had time to chat to you post game and. Definitely kind of wore his heart on his sleeve and put his body on the line for the team night in, night out and fought for every single puck. So yeah, he's certainly a good candidate for the C or at least an A next season.
Guino, in that interview with Danny Stewart, he again, I mentioned what I mentioned earlier about, he talked about players making sacrifices. When you have a leader like Sam Hare who sets the example, and you can tell has the utmost respects of every single player in that room, I guess it makes it easier for guys to make, you know, if there's a selfish captain who guys look at and go, well, he's not really putting his weight, and it'd be very unlikely for a captain to be in that role. But you know, Sam Hare, you could tell not only did the fans idolize him, you could see the respect he had as a coach, and you could see the respect, sorry, the coaches gave to him, you see the respect the players. So you need your captain to be the uttermost professional person. So my
Yeah, I
point,
think
sorry, my
you
point.
just want a captain that's probably, like you said, not gonna, you know, say too much all the time, but just leads by example. But yeah, as you said, you know, Sam's the perfect one because he'd obviously been here before, so he kind of knew the league, he knew the area a little bit, and you know, so guys probably went to him for advice on different things, but he just did everything well, and it's also his playing style. You know, it was like when Stevie Lee was captain, you know. He's out there blocking shots and fighting sometimes. And, you know, he does all those things that, you know, you say about sacrifice. You know, Sam Hare, if he wanted, could probably have 45 goals. You know, if he just went out and poached and tried to score every shift. But as you said, it's not about that. It's about doing the right things and other people seeing you do the right things and then kind of doing the same. So, yeah, I'm sure between Danny and Omar, they'll have an idea already if it's someone that's re-signing or if they end up bringing somebody in that's, you know, could possibly do that role. I always think it's good to have someone that's played in the league before, even if they've not been at the team, if they've been in the league, just because the league is so individual compared to the rest of the world. And obviously, you know, with Sam Hare, that proved very vital. It
Ken,
was always going to be Sam that scored that goal against Sheffield, wasn't it, in the semi-final?
yeah.
It felt like it went into slow motion when he picked it up on the right-hand side.
I tell you what, the one that I've looked back and realized is the reaction of Mitch Fossier when he scores his second overtime winner. There's a good second or half a second between him actually reacting, whether he just couldn't quite realize what he'd done. But if you look at it, the puck hits the net and it does take him a few seconds. There's also a great shot of Sam Hare's goal from behind the goal in that Sheffield game. And it's interesting how the bench reacts a good half a second before the crowd as well. Maybe that's the angle of the puck or something. Ken, you look like a man who's got a good point to make.
Oh, I'm not sure. I was admiring that. Whether I was thinking, has Jono got a moustache, or is he just not? It's sort of like no. Everything you said. I mean, those moments. I was describing somebody. I was talking to someone today who I'd not spoken to for a while in a work context, and they were just asking me about what happened, and I was talking them through that playoff final and also the game against Sheffield. Saying from the way that it all played out, it was like a movie script, and I agree. It did. It went into slow motion, and even when we had that goal washed out, and then Cardiff scored, I just had this sense of like, this is going to be okay. It's like it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. And then obviously to win, and oh, it's just insane. I mean, it still gives me goosebumps now. Like I was there. I was trying to hold it. Yeah, obviously I got to be impartial and unbiased, quite rightly doing the role that I was doing. But you know, if you think the team's won the game, then you can sort of kind of go, well, that's the end of the game now. I'm not influencing anything or can be seen to be doing anything. But tell you what, it's hard to put that all back in its box and then go again. You know, it was incredible, really. Yeah, but slow motion, the way to describe it, it did. It felt like everything slowed down.
Yeah, I've been looking and I can't actually find a record of another game that's had two overtime goals waved off. So that might have been something unique we've seen.
Yeah, I tried to search as well, Chris, and struggled to find it. But it was remarkable. And I kind of relate to you with Ken, because of course I was needing to be neutral for the television broadcast. And obviously in my head I was going, you know, if Panthers lose this game, I've still got to stride out on the ice and find, you know, people to interview. And obviously inside I'll be dejected. But obviously it was Cardiff. I there would have been certainly people. I know it sounds daft. I'd have been absolutely devastated, but there'd have been people on the team that I would have been absolutely, I'd been pleased for them. Matthew Myers, you know, I'd have been, obviously the dejection would have been one thing, but Greener, it's like, yeah, when you've got friends on other teams, be pleased for Matt. I'd have been pleased for Mark Richardson and the other guys that I get to know with, through GB, like Bouncy and Sam Duggan and Josh Batch and Ben Davies. So in my head, I was like, I'll make a beeline for these British players for sure if Cardiff if win the game. And yeah, like you say, Ken, it was slow motion. I just can't put my finger on, like, it again, trying to sum it up. I've been trying to sum it up to a lot of people. In fact, I think I did talk about it a bit too much, because at one point you and King as well, and Pete Russell, another one that I've not mentioned that obviously would have been good for, but you and King at one point on the GB trip did go, yeah, Chris, we get it, you won the playoffs. And I was like, yeah, sorry, mate. Obviously it was
I
it.
was quite pleased I didn't have to be neutral on the
Yes.
radio. I'm not entirely sure how I was able to go again after that first one got waved off.
Well, I don't know how, you had to commentate for obviously a game and what, a game and a half, again,
Yeah,
yeah,
nearly two games, yeah.
nearly two games, which obviously didn't go quite as long as the famous Panthers playoff air, Jono, wasn't it, in all those years ago?
Yeah, that was, oh,
98?
Yeah.
98, 97 or 98, 97, I
Hang
think.
on, let me have a look.
Did some we did I did some chat on it in the broadcast. I was getting a few WhatsApps as well. The one thing that confused me, and then I realized I was right, they were 10 minute periods of overtime. So when I was working out the times, I was like,
Right, yeah.
why did it go to the sixth period at overtime? But it was,
Ah.
you know, and then I was thinking about the timings of the goal because I read where the timing of the goal was. But yeah,
Yeah.
they were 10 minute periods. Were you there, Jono?
I wasn't. I back in that time, I was working Saturday, so I could only have one Saturday off, and they split the playoff weekend over 2 weekends. So I missed the semi final and took a risk on the final.
Yeah.
And of course, we lost to Sheffield 3-1 in the final
Yeah.
with I'm getting a disgraceful goal as well with a
22nd of
blatant
March
cross check, but
97.
we're
22nd of March 97.
March.
Yeah. At the
Jeff Hoad for the short-handed winner in this.
Yes, it was. Yes. Ken, what do you want to say?
Well, I just want to. I was casting my mind back to the 2017 Stanley Cup final between the Nashville Predators and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And a very interesting game six, where there were two controversial disallowed goals for Nashville.
Right. It not in overtime though, or in overtime.
No, not in overtime. It doesn't appear. But Colton Sissons had the disallowed goal in the second period, and then Pico Subban had a goal ruled out for a player was offside. Apparently, caused a bit of controversy at the time, but can't find anything around over to, you know, happening in overtime.
You imagine having two big goals disallowed? It was this in the playoffs as well? Is it in the playoffs?
This was 2017 Stanley Cup final,
Imagine
game
having two goals disallowed.
Those disallowed goals were pivotal moments in a game the Penguins won 2-0, clinching the Stanley Cup.
It's like you're reading it, but it's I can it's in your
It's
brain though, isn't
my brain, obviously. I
Yeah.
mean, I wouldn't want to you to think that I was using anything like ChatGPT or any other form of which is available, by the way. All forms of AI are acceptable, but it's no, it's just my almost libraric hockey knowledge. I don't even know if
The
that's
game with 100 penalty minutes.
everyone's frantically Googling. We'll go around the table. I, for one, before we finish, I think we've got to talk about Tomo coming back. I, for one, I'm really excited to see poor Thompson back in the league. I tell you for what, you know, you normally hear rumors, don't you, in hockey, and you normally hear whispers that something might be happening. I totally didn't see it coming, be honest with you, didn't see it coming. But then when I heard, I'm like, you know what, that makes sense. You know, he's coming home. He's been away from his family for quite a while. You know, he was a very successful coach with the Coventry Blaze. He won in his early days at Sheffield, didn't he? And then I don't know, it didn't quite work out for him there. Since he's been coaching in Europe, he's been successful, ending, of course, winning this playoff campaign. Let's start with you, Greener. He'll be a guy. Am I getting my years wrong? You didn't play under him at Sheffield, did you? No.
No.
But obviously a real character in the game, in the UK game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legend, isn't he? I mean, obviously, I didn't really get to see him. I don't think play as a player, but, you know, as a coach, when I was coming to the league, Coventry were winning everything, and, you know, they had such good teams, such exciting teams. And no, I think, yeah, he'll be great. You know, I think those Cardiff Coventry games are already like big enough rivalries now. They're massive, you know, when Cardiff go into the Sky Dome. I think it keeps that Sheffield Cardiff rivalry, which bubbles up nicely, good. And yeah, it's a real shame for Pete to go. I think, you know, having British coaches in the league's really good. So obviously, you know, Pete won't be in the league, but Tomo coming back, you know, I think he'll probably be an even better coach now. Like you said, been away in Europe, you know, different style of hockey. Probably, you know, picked up some new tricks. And as you said, he's just coming off a really successful year. So they look like they're putting together a good team, that they've kept some good bits from last year. So yeah, I expect the Cardiff games to be really good. And yeah, I mean, he always had that when he was in Coventry. He had a bit of a rivalry here, didn't he? That was a bit before my time, but I think he's kind of got those rivalries from the old days with quite a few teams. So now it'll be spicy.
Ken, I mean, you know, you think of Paul Thompson, and the first phrase that comes to mind is Team Hollywood.
Yeah, Team Hollywood.
That's what he called the Nottingham Panthers. The
Yeah.
Corey Nelson Nottingham Panthers, he called Team Hollywood.
I mean, there's part of me that thinks it would be nice to see pa Panthers continue their tradition of hammering Cardiff whenever they come to the Nottingham Arena. But yeah, I think having a character like Paul Thompson back in the Elite League is just such great value. I mean, I'm like, I want there to be a place where I can put money on his first meltdown, full sticks onto the ice, full outrage, kicking the bin over, all of that. I want it because I think he brings an element. He's such a passionate person that it will bring,
Yeah.
inflame rivalries. It will, rekindle old scores that need settling. It'll, the politics of where he's played and everything is just, yeah, sorry, where he's coached. I think it just, I'm really excited. I think it's great. I think it's brilliant. I mean, obviously, sorry for Pete, but what it does focus your mind on is the fact that, obviously Panthers lift that playoff trophy. Belfast take the Challenge Cup, they take the Elite League title. That leaves the Cardiff Devils, the Sheffield Steelers, it leaves other, the Guildford Flames. That means there's only two teams that have taken silverware away. They weren't the only two teams that had huge expectations against the squad that had been assembled and all of those things. Make no mistake, no one's resting on their laurels, and it's symptomatic of how much pressure there is in the sport that, after that seat, that's it. Change of coach. We've got Paul Thompson coming into Cardiff Devils. I think, I think it's amazing for the league and the rivalries, and I'm really looking forward to that first time you see him on the away bench, and I think it's great.
I agree with all of you say, and just going back to Peter, it's a shame to see him leave the UK, but he'll go back to Germany, and I'm convinced he'll do well. Don't think we've really got time to talk about GB, but what a phenomenal job him and the coaches did with GB to get GB promoted on five practice sessions and no warm-up games. Huge credit to Pete and to Corey and to Chuck Webber and to Ewan King and the boys there who just insane. But we know about these GB boys now. But I just want to push one final thing to Jono on that poor Thompson question. Those, as you mentioned, Ken, as well, those rivals is a beginning to shape up. So you've got that Sheffield thing because he was the coach there. You've got the Coventry thing. He was a coach there and he was part of their ownership. I'm not sure whether he is now.
And Danny played under him in
And
Coventry as
then, yes,
well.
I was about to come on to those two things. So Danny played under him. They're great mates. They were on the phone the other day when I was with Danny. The other rivalry thing is Corey Nielsen and Paul Thompson weren't best pals. You could tell that when they coached against each other. So there's going to be a bit of a clan rivalry there. So that's one, so Cardiff are going to have some fun games this year. And then, of course, Jono, as we said, that the Paul Thompson games that we played against Coventry were some of the most spicier games I can remember. We all love and remember the famous game where Johan Molin came back to see some friends, had to borrow some skates, put some skates on, and scored a winner, didn't he, to beat Coventry 2-1. And ironically, I think it was those white skates that Paul Thompson had, one of the reasons why he'd nicknamed it, I think, Team Hollywood. But the rivalries that Paul Thompson brings is only going to be beneficial for the league.
Yeah, of course it is. I think it's a great appointment by Cardiff. I really, really do. And I was surprised to see some negativity from their fans around it because this is a really experienced coach. He's just won the title in Denmark. Yeah, he's coaching the DEL. He's coached Great Britain. He's a hugely experienced head coach. And a really, really good appointment for them, and the right, like you say, the rivalries he brings, especially for when he was coach of Sheffield, coach of Coventry, the games that we had against his teams, fantastic. It's all good for the league that he's back, and I think it's a really great appointment by the Devils.
Agreed. Right. Brilliant. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And thanks to you guys for for having a chat with me. We'll get together again, I guess, in a few weeks when there'll be a few more signings to announce. Looking forward to the first, as much as we want all these players back from last season, I think the list is quite long for us and for fans alike. I'm looking forward to seeing what new faces join the lineup as well. So we'll be back in touch soon. But for now, thanks for listening to the Panthers podcast.